What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe, good times. Laura, what do you got?
All right, so our man Bad Bunny is covering the W Magazine, and I love something that he said. It said, simply, I'm being myself. I think we're already proving that music is a universal language. We have people from all parts of the world singing songs in Spanish. We don't have to sing in English anymore to cross over. George, how huge is this for our people?
I would say it's huge. I do think that it's cool that someone like Bad Bunny and J Balvin and all these guys are some of the biggest stars we have in music right now. First of all, their sound is unique and obviously, you know, in that language. Look, I think that, you know, there was a time, right, where, you know, Ricky Martin many years ago was doing, you know, half and half songs. Enrique Iglesias was doing like half and half songs. But to his point, as far as language is concerned, you know, now that doesn't need to be the case. He can just speak in his language and be comfortable with it. Shakira also had to do some of that. And I've always said, if you listen to Enrique Iglesias or Shakira or Ricky Martin sing in Spanish, you can hear the difference on how much better it sounds, because it's no different than a ball player, for example, in baseball speaking in his second language. It's good, but it still could be interesting, but it's not going to be as authentic and passionate as it would be in anyone's first language. So I think it's a big deal.
I like it. I like to sing the songs in other languages, even if I don't know what I'm saying. You know? Seriously.
Yeah. It allows people to also kind of learn a little bit too, right? You know, doesn't it? What are you laughing at?
I'm sorry.
I was like, what is he laughing at?
Sorry, I was in my own head.
Okay.
I'd love to be in there. I'd like to know.
Yeah.
Nah, you good. This is great, man. It's great.
I feel attacked.
No.
That's the second time, Elsie. Right.
You don't know what's in my head. No, I think it's great. I think it's great because, you know, this whole idea that, you know, in order to be considered mainstream, there's only one way in a country as diverse as America was always like a fallacy. Like, there isn't a one way when you're also trying to be a melting pot. But we all know the history of this country and why it was always presented that way. And finally, we're at the point where there can be some authentic inclusion and not just decorative diversity, you know, where we don't want you. We just want you to be in the room so that we can say that you're included. But you're not listening to me. You're not including me. You're not asking about me. You don't care about my culture. You don't care about my language. You don't care about my people. You just want to be able to tell people you're diverse. Now we're getting to the place in which you're actually understanding what diversity and inclusion really means. So I think it's a great thing. Plus, I love me some Bad Bunny.
El Conejo Malo. That's What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe. Good times. All right. By the way, we are giving away a pair of tickets to see Dave Chappelle and friends on Saturday, July 3rd at MGM Grand Garden Arena. Includes a one-night hotel stay. The way you win is very simple. Hopefully you've been taking notes on the show. We are going to play a pop quiz game at 6:40. So if you want to win the Dave Chappelle tickets, you got to be listening at 6:40. You got to have taken notes through the show. All the different silliness and nonsense that we do throughout the show, all that stuff will be included in this particular conversation. So real quick, yesterday we were having a conversation about shopping carts. And when you go to the grocery store, are you a heathen that leaves the shopping cart in the parking lot? Or do you at the very least, because look, if you don't bring it back all the way to the grocery store, some of these grocery stores actually do you a solid by creating these like little mini lanes that you can leave, like these little space, like areas where you can bring the shopping cart back, and it's also happens to be in the parking lot, so you don't have to take it back to the actual physical structure. So if you're still, with all that in line now, if you're still doing that, you are definitely a heathen. And it's funny, we had a guy, Daniel, tweet us yesterday that he said basically the shopping cart is the ultimate litmus test for whether a person is capable of self-governing, and it's the ultimate test in what determines whether a person is good or a bad member of society. And I'm here for it. I am here for it, LC. That is a litmus test. I am 100% behind that.
I agree. I agree. I put the shopping cart people in the same category as the escalator step hoggers, particularly in airports.
Escalator step hoggers. Like, so you're saying taking the entire escalator, not leaving room for someone who wants to walk past you.
Exactly.
That's a man who goes to a lot of airports, because that happens to me all the time on the moving walkway.
And it's just sort of like the moving walkway is really irritating because, and I've actually said this to people, you do realize this is not the destination. You do realize the goal is that we're all trying to get
keep going, right?
We got to go somewhere else, right?
Keep going straight, yeah.
And I've had people, you know, call me names and stuff like that, and I've been somewhat confrontational, not physically confrontational because I'll be arrested, but certainly with my words, just kind of go, well, you're standing where it says walk. So you're asking for criticism.
Right, right.
You're asking
so,
for it.
Right, right. So the guy who doesn't put the shopping cart back and the guy who hogs the escalator is the same guy who goes into a public restroom, like a restaurant, right? And they've got a clean bathroom and you have to use it and you make a little bit of a mess. Maybe you pee a little bit on the seat, right? And you thought you weren't home, so maybe you did things a little different. Do you clean it up? Because the next person doesn't have to come in and see this mess. Do you clean it up or do you go, nah, I'm just going to walk out. Somebody else will have to deal with it. What kind of person are you? That's the question.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Just, you know, it's like if you see something on the floor that's littered, right? Like, just pick it up. Grab it. No big deal. Speaking of no big deal, and we play Big Deal or No Deal at 6:30 each and every day on this show. But there's some talk about the Lakers, about whether it's a big deal. Max Kellerman's out here telling people that, you know, LeBron is on the decline, that this is the beginning of the end. And, you know, there's conversation on talk radio, on talk television about the Lakers and this just not feeling right, that this is different. The injuries are piling up. The continuity is not there. This team doesn't look the same. And if LeBron's not 100%, what are you going to get? Now, LZ, you brought up making up for some of that with Anthony Davis. And I was watching The Jump today, and I agreed. Look, you and I have had this conversation for years. Well, not for years, but we had this last year about Anthony Davis. During the playoffs last year, we specifically had a conversation about him needing to step up, and we were adamant about, look, if you want to be a top five player, you got to show me what's up. And he did. He stepped up to the plate last year because there was a lot of questions about him and whether he could be that guy. Well, the questions have arisen again. I saw Richard Jefferson today make a comment about that on The Jump. Hey, if you want to be a top five player, if Bron's going to be hurt, you need to be that guy that the torch is passed to. So I just don't know. Do you think he's capable of that? Like, I think he's got the skill set to do it, but does he actually have the ability is the next question.
Well, it's not whether or not he has the ability, and it's not whether or not he has the skill set. It's whether or not he has the mentality. It's always about the mentality with a player like Anthony Davis. You know, it's very comfortable to be able to sit back and let Bron do it. Just like it was comfortable to sit back and let Jordan do it, sit back and let Magic do it, sit back and let Bird do it. But do you have the mentality to step in their shoes if they can't do it? And you know, we know that Anthony Davis has been the best player on a team before, but we don't know if Anthony Davis has ever led a successful team before.
Not really. I mean, second round. Yeah.
Right. We don't know if he's done that yet. And so it's not about whether or not he's capable of physically or from a skill set perspective. It's how he views himself right now and what he thinks he needs to do in order to get this team back to the mountaintop. It's a mental thing for him.
See, I would say this, that a week ago, if we had a conversation and I said, guys, you have a fully healthy Anthony Davis on this team, mm-hmm. but LeBron's out, doesn't play at all.
Right.
Do you think the Lakers are a championship team minus LeBron?
No.
Okay. So that's where I'm at on this, is I don't think Anthony Davis's game is enough to by himself be a, hey, everybody, get on my back, I'll be the leader kind of a player. I don't think so. And to LZ's point, we've already seen what he was when he had his own, I'll call it his own team in New Orleans. So to answer the question, for me, I don't think he has that because I haven't seen him prove that he does yet. And I don't think he's got the all-around game to be that guy.
It did feel, LZ, at times he needed to be coaxed out of that a little bit. Now, whether that's actually the case or not, it did feel that way. Is that accurate?
No, it definitely felt that way. And, you know, it can be intimidating playing with someone who's in a conversation of greatest of all time while that someone is still at the top.
Right.
That can be intimidating. Just as it can be intimidating for, you know, a new artist to be paired with a legend on a record, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they can have all the chops in the world, but damn it, that's Whitney Houston over there. It could be different for you. So when I think about Anthony Davis and his next progression towards being the player we want him to be, it's being able to recognize what this moment is, asking himself, is he ready? I'm going to assume the answer is yes, and then just go out and do it. Just go out and do it. Because if you do it, we're going to give you all the love. You ain't got to worry about that. We're going to say you've arrived. We're going to say this is your team. We're going to give you all the accolades. But what we can't do is tell you it's time. You have to do that for yourself. You have to recognize it's time. We can't do that. The media can't do it. The fans can't do it. Jeannie Buss can't do it. Your boys can't do it. You have to step out on that court and say, can't no MF on this floor hold me. When you're at that point, and then you get those guys to rally behind you because they see that mentality shift, then the transaction has happened. But until then, we're still in this. This is LeBron's team. Ankle, no foot, left foot, right foot, whatever you got going on, it's LeBron's team until Anthony Davis recognizes what this moment could be for him.
Let me go to Ray in Fullerton. Ray, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? You know, when he's talking about mentality, I can't help but think about Kobe Bryant. If you want to talk about Black Superman, and you want to talk about this time of year and this season, you know, when you look at LeBron's body language and his press conferences and I'll never be 100% again, do you sincerely see Kobe doing the same thing?
No, because they're different people. No, but they're different people, man. Like, they're different people. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing the Kobe LeBron thing, Ray. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. I'm not.
Well, I understand that. But, I mean, if he's not 100% LeBron James, he should at least be still, and it still does go through LeBron James, you know, in order for us to get this championship. Even if he's not 100%, he needs to be more outspoken, not like dropping his shoulders and it almost seems
well, remember,
like
he did do that.
More outspoken.
He did do that last year, and they still won a championship. So, I mean, there is that.
Trying to figure out what exactly do you want from LeBron James that he hasn't already demonstrated?
You want him to be Kobe, and he's not going to be Kobe because he's a different person.
That's true, you know, and that's a fair statement. I just think that, you know, I think, first of all, the Lakers are going to be fine. They have a lot of talent on that team, and a lot of players are getting playing time that they're going to need in the playoffs. And the reality is, unless they have a one-game playoff or whatever, you still have to beat them four times. And I still think everything's going to be fine, but that's just my take on, you know, and I know some people don't want to hear that.
No,
I don't
understand.
I don't get it. I don't get the everything's going to be fine mentality. I just don't get it. You got the Clippers coming up Thursday. Then you got to play Portland the next night. Then Phoenix on Sunday. New York is no gimme anymore. You got three games to finish the regular season. And LeBron's not going to be 100%. That's the deal.
And not available for some of those games.
Right. And so if they lose a bunch of games here, like the next three games, if they lose these, I mean, there is the possibility they fall into the play-in. You know, and that's a one-game series where who knows what happens. You know, what if they come up against Golden State and Steph goes off for 60?
Well, it would be a two-game series in all likelihood.
I understand. Gotcha.
Well, if they if they lost, let's say they're seven or eight.
Right, if they're 7 or 8 and they lose one, they still got another opportunity.
Then it's a one-game scenario, yes, right. After that. Yeah. But to Cap's point, if they end up playing the Warriors, that's a one-game scenario if they're playing the Warriors.
But here's the thing, right? It's not about those teams. It's about the Lakers. Because we know when the Lakers are playing their best, they won't be beaten four times in a series.
Can they play their best?
Hold on. We know when they play their best, they won't be beaten in a four-game series. So instead of focusing in on who they got to face on the outside,
ask
yourself about whether or not they can rally themselves together on the inside.
I don't know.
And do this.
Anthony Davis
says they could.
LeBron says they can't.
Well, Anthony Davis says we're back and we're ready.
Okay, right. Well,
that's what he said after Denver.
But LeBron says, without me being healthy, we don't really have a chance. That's what it's all about. It's about me coming back and being healthy.
Let's do this on the other side because we got a full board of calls. Plus, we have Greg's Dodger theory that we have to get to, as promised. This is different. This is different, man. Like, I am telling you right now that if they get the wrong matchup, okay? Do I think they're going to lose in the play-in? No. But if they get the wrong matchup after that, having to work through the play-in, I think they could be in some trouble. So let's get to some of that. We'll get to more of your calls. We'll get to Greg's Dodger theory. And this is one of those theories where you're either going to be like, holy crap, Greg is a genius, or holy crap, Greg is an insane person.
The former.
Okay? It's pretty simple, all right? We'll do that on the other side in 2.5 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Absolutely 1,000,000% not the case. Two of my childhood friends, my closest friends, okay, still to this day on my group chat, talk every day, multiple, you know, many times a day, were guys who worked at Kmart. And they used to have to spend the entire last hour before we would go out as teenagers of their run at Kmart, right, of their daily duties at Kmart, picking up shopping carts. And I would actually help them occasionally, because I'm like, yo, we got to go wherever. Like, I don't know, we were 16, right? Like, we got to go to this person's house or that person's house. Let's go. I'll help you. Let's go. Let's move. So on the contrary, and I do that all the time. I always take it back. And I even told the story yesterday, had you been listening and not probably playing golf somewhere, Chris, that I even took the shopping cart back during COVID, and the guy told me just leave it here next to where the carts are because I got to wipe them down. So maybe if you were paying attention, you always give LZ and Scott crap for not listening. Maybe you should have been listening.
Saying something, George? Did you say something? Excuse me.
Exactly.
Sorry, what?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Speaking of shopping carts, we'll take your calls here on the Lakers, but Gilbert and Whittier also wants to talk about the shopping cart. Now, you do believe that not putting the shopping cart is back is fine?
Yes, correct.
Why is that?
I think that, so being a dad of three, I mostly take my kids wherever I go. So I find it like a challenge to have to take the shopping cart back. I think for the most part, what? I do leave it, you know, around the corner.
How old are we talking?
I have a 5, an 8, and a 9-year-old.
That is young.
Especially with this heat.
Is there a carve out, LZ and Scott, on the dad with the three kids? All, you know, either like just toddler or, you know, just barely, you know, just above toddler age.
See, I think the whole conversation is really just like this. You go to the store, you're by yourself, you put your stuff in your car. Now you have the cart. Are you the kind of person that chooses to leave it because there's somebody who works there and they're going to come retrieve it? Or are you the kind of person that thinks to yourself, you know, that's why they have those things over there, those corrals. Let me go and put my stuff back, because that's what you do in an organized society where we all have to kind of trust each other. I trust that you're going to stop at a red light and I'm going to go at a green light. We have that relationship. So, I mean, that's really, let's not get crazy here. We got it, Dad. I got kids. We all got it. It's tough sometimes. Not going to criticize you and shame you.
I'm sorry for sure.
LZ?
I'm looking at these pictures of Beyonce as Wonder Woman. They're fascinating. The Twitter people are on fire.
Do we have a carve out for our friend here in Whittier?
Here's the deal, man. There are parking spaces next to the shopping carts. You don't have to walk all the way back or go all the way forward just to replace it. You could find something that's near the little shopping crater thing and make sure that the trip isn't far. But at the end of the day, the one thing that makes society work, Cap is half right. There's an agreement based upon the rules of a functioning, organized society. But the reason why society works isn't just because of the rules. It's because we extend grace to each other when those rules are broken. So if you are exhausted because you got these kids and it's hot and they've been jumping up and down and screaming during the entire shopping trip, we should extend grace to people as well in order to keep the society functioning as well in those situations. I'm talking about the people not like you. I'm talking about the lazy MFs who just don't want to do it. Not the ones who got a lot of stuff going on. So don't feel bad. This conversation is not for you. It's not about you. Props for you for being a great dad and taking care of your kids. This isn't for you. This is for that dude who doesn't have any kids and just doesn't feel like walking a shopping cart back over.
A child carve out. There we go. So Gilbert and Whittier, thank you for your call. Let's go to Brian and Torrance next. Brian.
What's up, Brian?
I got a couple of things. First of all, Gilbert, I'm a dad too. Come on, man. You had to get the kids out of the car, put one on the hip, and walk to get the shopping cart. Why can't you do the same to put it away? I got three boys. Love you, man. I feel your pain, but the easy way is just to find a place to put it safely. You're copping out. You're being lazy. Second part is, earlier you guys were talking about using a restroom, and would you clean up if it was messy after you? First of all, leave the restroom the same way you found it. That's what my parents always told me. Go in. If it's messy, you leave it messy. If it's clean, you should leave it clean, if not a little bit better. And then third of all, problem with the NBA is there's no more Warriors with passion. It's all about money. Nobody plays injured anymore. Nobody has loyalty to their teams anymore. Hardly anybody will play a career like Kobe.
All right, stop. I can't let you keep going with this get off my lawn conversation. Those teams also disrespect those athletes. Remember that? They trade them whenever they want to. In the NFL for years, they would just cut them and not honor the contracts whenever they wanted to. It's a two-way street, my man. So you want to talk about passion? How about the passion for owners and team presidents to take care of the players that's giving them everything, like Isaiah Thomas in Boston? What'd they do to him? He says, thank you for your service, now get out of here. It's a two-way street, man. Don't just blame the athletes for this culture.
No response, no reply, no rebuttal? I mean, come on, man.
Guess not. See you, Brian.
Oh, he dropped. I think you scared him, LZ.
He dropped. You did.
But I'm not going to sit up here and let him pretend as if it's all the athletes that's creating this dynamic.
Yeah. No, you're right. It is a two-way street. I don't think that's why player empowerment became a thing. By the way, least surprising thing ever. Steve Mason just texted, I don't take the shopping cart back. They have a job.
No.
He did. That's right. He sent a text saying that.
That's not his response.
And he feels that's how this person is employed. His job is to go out there and do that, or her job. And Steve Mason has a different perspective. Are we surprised?
No, I'm not surprised that he would be the guy that lets them, you know.
I don't know what it is with me. I'm so uptight about it, too. Like, I had these coaches in college that would always drill this into your head. Character is what you do when nobody's watching. And I was like,
correct.
So every time, like, I'm by myself, like, somebody could be watching and this determines my character. So who am I? You know, am I walking by and that cart, I'm just leaving it. I pop it up on the curb and I go, you know what? Screw it, man. I'm out of here. I got things to do. You do it. You work here. I don't know why I'm so uptight like that. Yeah, for me, I got to take it back.
I got to take it back. I feel guilty about not taking it back in this particular case. Here's Briones checks in. With or without kids, take the cart to a specific spot. If you don't have kids, fine. You do look at your car like your baby. Would you like a dent on the side of your door or scratch? Hell no, you wouldn't. That's a good point, because if you leave the carts out there, that's how people's cars get scratched and dented.
Well, it's I don't care about the guy who has to come get it, and it's I don't care about the guy whose car I might hit.
Mason says he's the only one that's telling the truth here. Mason, that is, I will let you call my local grocery store, and they will tell you that I take that cart back every single time.
There's surveillance video somewhere. Mason, if you really want it, let's get it, man. There's surveillance video.
Yep, you could say you're the only one telling the truth. No, you're the only one that feels you're above the person working at the grocery store. Sorry. Ian in Redondo, though. What's up, Ian?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing? A lot of heat going on with the carts and everything else. But my point is I want to get to AD, and you guys were talking about him taking over and stepping up his game. Well, you know, every game, he pretty much has a mismatch. And there are times I see in games, he won't see the ball three, four, five possessions. So I really think the coaching staff needs to, hey, let's feed him early, let's feed him often. He needs to get at least 25 shots a game, especially if LeBron's not playing. Do you agree?
Well, that's up to him. Yeah. He's got to demand the ball a little
bit. He's got to demand the ball.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. It is on the coach too, yes, but it's also on him. I would agree with that. And thank you for the call, Ian. 877-710-ESPN. If you want to hop aboard, 877-710-3776. Damn it! I swear, Greg's Dodger theory. I promise you, Lord Jesus, and anyone who you pray to,
Thank you for that, Moses.
Yes, whoever it is you pray to, you. We'll have Greg's Dodger theory on the other side, and you will say, this mother bleeper is a genius, or this mother bleeper is insane. And it will happen on the other side. Your calls will continue, but we will do that first, okay? This segment, by the way, that's coming up, is sponsored by Dos Hombres, crafted with care, a spirit like no other. We're back in 3 minutes.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Sedano, Z, Cap with you here on 710 ESPN. By the way, we are giving away a chance for you to watch Dave Chappelle and Friends on Saturday, July 3rd at MGM Grand at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. Includes a one-night hotel stay. Here's the deal. At 6:40, we're going to do a pop quiz from the entire show. If you've got the five answers, or if you get the fifth answer, right? Like, it doesn't matter. If somebody before you gets, like, four and you get the fifth because they screwed up the fifth and you can clean up on aisle seven, or in this case, aisle five, you can win the trip. That's how this works.
Right. Let somebody else do the heavy lifting.
Right. It's a matter of doing your due diligence, but also a matter of chance and luck, kind of like everything in life. So make sure you're tuning in at 6:40 if you want to participate and try to win a pair of tickets to see Dave Chappelle and Friends Saturday, July 3rd at MGM Grand in the 6:40 segment. And tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. on AXS.com. All right, Greg, before I get back to these damn calls, tell people about your damn Dodger theory that I've been teasing for like an hour and a half.
Which now is going to make it that much worse. And by the way, there's already
somebody... No, it's fine. Yeah. If you're a Dodger fan, I feel like you're either going to be like, you know what, this Bergman, he gets it. Or you're going to be like, this Bergman is an excuse maker.
Yeah, which Bergman are we going to get? Let's hear it.
All right, so this is the deal. This Dodger team is all about patience at the plate, and they know what is a strike and what is a ball. They know exactly when it is, always. So
now, let me interrupt. You are correct. Statistically, they are the team that took the most pitches than anyone last season. Yes.
Yes, they take a lot of pitches, and they only want a certain pitch that they know they can drive. So, but what's happening now is that the strike zones are being expanded. And I'm not saying this is just for the Dodgers or just for whoever they're playing, but the strike zones are being expanded by these umpires. And so they are either having to reach out for these outside strikes more often because they're already down in the count, or they're not sure what's going to come because they have to protect. So it changes everything for them. So they are no longer, now they're all of a sudden in 1-2 counts, 2-2 counts. They get to those two strike counts so much faster that now it changes their approach at the plate.
So let me get this straight.
This is ridiculous.
Hold on. Before we reserve, let's reserve some judgment here. Hold on. What you're saying is because the Dodgers had a historic season last year, and really the last couple of seasons, they've been unbelievable. They've led the league in taking pitches at the plate. And you believe that the umpires have not settled in on a strike zone in general thus far this season, hence calling strikes outside the strike zone, which is then putting the Dodgers in this position of having to chase pitches that aren't normally strikes, because you're basically telling me there's this grand conspiracy that the umpires are giving the Dodgers the finger because they feel like the Dodgers are putting them in a bad spot. Is that accurate?
It's close. You started off really well, and then you started going into this grand conspiracy towards the end of it to change everything.
Because that's what it sounds like to me, that you're creating this grand conspiracy that the Dodgers are hitting poorly because it's the umpires. umpire's fault.
Just think, it's not the umpire's fault. I'm just saying, think about it. You think that every single Dodger, every one of them, all of a sudden are dropping their entire batting average and on-base percentage has dropped considerably all of a sudden, out of nowhere, which is a historically great team last year.
That's baseball, man.
Just can't hit all of a sudden.
I literally just saw Corey Seager swing at a pitch outside the zone, low and inside on a 2-1 count. Now, is that two strikes?
It's not,
and he just struck out. How about that?
It's not every single pitch, obviously, okay. But there are going to be a lot of times. It does throw you off. If you're already in a 1-2 count or an 0-2 count early on because you're taking pitches and they're called strikes when they're actually balls, it throws the entire at-bat off.
Okay. Now, Greg, don't get upset when
There's
I
no
tell
upset.
You.
That I'm not I, getting that upset.
I wanna,
George is not getting upset.
Right. Don't get crazy here, okay, when I tell you that you sound like an excuse maker.
You do.
Okay? You sound like you're making excuses. Listen, look at it like this. There are a lot of guys on this pitching staff that have gotten hurt, particularly in the bullpen, mm-hmm. and there is an injury, a major injury in the lineup with Bellinger out.
But what
and,
does that have to do with the offense? I mean,
let me explain it to you. So look, when you start the season 13-2 and everybody says you're going to be the greatest team of all time and you're 4-12 since, which is worse than the National League, that is not because guys aren't adjusting to the strike zone. That is because guys have gone ice cold. That's the way it goes. Sometimes you're going to be on fire hot and sometimes you're just going to be ice cold. And right now, this offense is completely ice cold, and I'm just not going to say that it's because the strike zone has changed and therefore their mentality is all screwed up because they're coached, if you will, or managed in a way that this is when we swing at pitches. I think it sounds like one gigantic excuse.
Well, but it's okay. If it's one or two guys that are being that way, if it was just Mookie Betts that wasn't hitting well, or if it was just Corey Seager that was going through a rough stretch, totally with you, 100%. But when everybody,
haven't you heard the phrase "hitting is contagious"?
Yes, of course. But then guys will get on base and they'll walk. Like Max Muncy leads the league in walks, so he'll get on base. But then everybody else will ground into double plays or they'll strike out. It's
how about Justin Turner? Is Justin Turner way, way, way under his career averages?
No, he's overperforming.
It's dropped. Justin Turner's dropped considerably.
I mean, he's still hitting .333 with an on-base plus slugging of over 1,000.
And a monster home run yesterday when they really needed it.
That was Muncy.
LZ, you are as rational a person.
Go back and look. Go back.
LZ, you are as rational a person as I know. You have now heard Greg's case. You have heard us argue it. What say you?
I got the Rams, and they're my five.
Okay.
All right. So after that, I think there is some validity to what Greg is saying, though it doesn't explain everything. Let's take this concept that he's talking about and expand it, right? When referees in the NFL are letting guys play, that sets a tone that is different than when referees are calling everything. You play differently. The outcome of the game is affected. You could even find yourself in a losing streak because you're trying to adjust to the way the games are being called and you can't keep up to the constant moving target. Take the same thing with like the NBA. Sometimes the refs let the guys play. And sometimes they call every ticky-tack foul. And sometimes they see tensions rising and they're trying to send a message and that throws off the equilibrium of the game because they're trying to adjust to how the referees are going to call the game. So when you go to baseball, which of the three sports that I just talked about is most impacted by the calls, right? Like the very first play of any baseball game depends upon whether or not the ump says it's a good ball or not. That's first. So it's even more important. So if players are struggling to keep up or figure out how these umps are going to call strikes versus balls,
right,
that can impact your at-bat.
Oh, but Muncy just hit a home run.
But,
how'd that happen?
Seriously, Cap, you're going to take a little one. You can't be that dense. Obviously, you get what I'm talking about.
Of
so
course,
when
I'm
it comes
not,
to
what
I'm
I would say is
so,
this.
So, I'm talking
so,
to Bergman, though, LZ.
So when, well, I was the one I was talking. So when I talk about like baseball, I don't believe, Greg, that you can use your theory and apply it across 20 games. I think your theory could work for like a couple of games here and there, but to suggest the slump that they're in is all based upon trying to adjust to the way umps are calling balls and strikes, I think is a bit aggressive.
Well, and what I would say is robots. What I would say is, where was this analysis when they were 13-2?
Right. Right. The umps aren't robots. It's not like every single ump can call it exactly the same way. And these are pro hitters. You've got to be able to make adjustments if you think that the strike zone is adjusting.
Correct.
And Muncy just hit a home run is what I'm saying, LZ. It's like you're going to have guys get hot. And right now, a lot of guys are very cold. And that's why the record has gone from 13-2 to 4-12 in the next 16 games, which is the worst in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I do think. Basically, we all disagree with you, Greg, in through whatever amount of games it's been at this point.
LZ was a little bit on my side. Not fully, but a little bit on my side.
I think you're stretching it to make it accommodate for the slump that they're in.
Right. Because here's
theory,
the thing,
by the way, too.
The
this
first 15
exact.
Games, you, right, LZ, no one, this, you know, you if that's the case for the last 16, you know, why wasn't that the case for the first 15? You know what I mean? Like, you're telling me the umpire's strike zone was more formed the first 15 than the last 16?
I mean,
that doesn't seem right.
Seems like an excuse.
Yeah.
And I might be that dense, by the way, LZ. It's possible.
Yeah, well, there's
you can't be that dense. You literally sound like the person who says there's no climate change because it's snowing.
No, I don't know about that.
No, yeah, that's a stretch.
That's pretty much exactly what you just said.
No, actually, what I just said was that Muncy had just hit a home run. It was pretty simple, really.
Yeah.
No, you said he hit a home run in the context of a larger data conversation. That's why I said you can't be that dense. Mm. I was talking about larger data, and you went to just one example in this one moment.
I like to keep it simple, yeah.
I know. That's why I asked if you were that dense. That's all.
It's possible.
All right.
Got a wrap.
Coming up next, Jeannie Buss. Uh-oh. She drew the ire of Shaq. We'll get into that coming up in 3 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mason probably. Do you think Mason, if he hears that, Greg, do you think he actually does get upset?
Yes, I do, because he is Mr. Baseball. So he's listening right now. Mace, I'm sorry. But it's
by
true.
The way, did you guys happen to see that on Twitter there's something called @cartnarks?
Now, do you think that's because it's you, or that's just it would be anyone that Chris would say would know more Dodger baseball than him?
I think it's mostly me. If it was somebody else, like if Chris came in and said, "Oh, LZ knows more baseball than anybody," or you know, Travis Rogers knows more baseball than anyone here, he'd be like, "Yeah, okay, fine, that's all right." But because it's me, yes, way more angry. Absolutely.
It's pretty funny.
Now, I mean, wouldn't it be you if it was like, "Oh, Greg knows more basketball than Sedano."
Oh,
I don't know what that was.
I would laugh it off because I knew that wouldn't be the case.
Because it's silly.
Yeah. But apparently Mason, do you think Mason would be bothered by it because he does worry that you know more Dodger baseball. Speaking of getting upset, we've all have children here. The four of us, the four gentlemen on the show, Laura does not. But Laura has family members, I'm sure, with little children. And there is a story here. And I feel like maybe not this has happened to all of us at one point or another, or maybe when we were kids, we've done something kind of crazy that our parents have had to deal with. But the story I just found that came across my timeline is a four-year-old boy accidentally bought $2,600 worth of SpongeBob popsicles on Amazon. A four-year-old cartoon fanatic from Brooklyn named Noah Bryant, who is 4 years old, as I mentioned, bought nearly $3,000 worth of non-refundable popsicles from Amazon. Amazon has said that they will not refund it, so a good Samaritan set up a GoFundMe page, and they have now covered the cost of the 51 cases containing 918 popsicles.
Oh, man, where do you put all that?
Now, look,
seriously, where do
Scott,
you
have four children. I would imagine that there was a time your children did something that probably drew your ire. I know that I had it wasn't $3,000 worth, but I remember when I fell for that, you know, remember back in the day, this is how old I am, the CD, one penny for like 10 CDs or whatever it was, And then the bill eventually comes for all those CDs that you're buying. And my dad was like, what the hell did you do again? But I would imagine that $3,000 is a pretty wild deal. So do you have anything like that in your repertoire with the kids?
You ever have a situation where you get your kids' phones, and this is going back, you know, like with their first generation of a phone, and then somehow your children are connected to your Apple ID, as an example, and then the next thing you know, your credit card is being hit because they're buying either apps or they've bought something right. that they thought was free, but then you can't figure out how to stop it. Like, you literally are like, I can't figure out how to stop this charge every month. And you're going to eat. Like, for me, I had four. I was like, is it you? Are you buying music? Or is it you? Did you buy from this app? So that was so irritating that I couldn't. It took forever to try and find how this money was being billed to my card, and I couldn't stop it. So I can feel the pain for the parents. Almost 1,000 SpongeBob bars. Where do you put it? If you had a second refrigerator in your house, where would you put all this stuff? Maybe you have a SpongeBob pop party and just take them all down. I don't know, man. Poor little guy. You know, probably was playing on somebody's phone, didn't mean to do it. Next thing you know, $2,600 worth of pop show up.
Yeah, they saw SpongeBob. He loves SpongeBob. Of course, he's 4 years old. What 4-year-old doesn't love SpongeBob, LZ?
He looked like a badass kid to me. He might actually know what he was doing.
He's cute, man. This picture is adorable.
It's adorable, but his style, too. Looking at the little ripped jeans on and like skinny jeans and stuff.
Mickey Mouse t-shirt. Yeah. Mickey's wearing a jean jacket on his shirt.
Yeah, man. He might have known what he was doing.
He got glasses? Are those Gucci?
See, he's stylized. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it was an accident or not, but I will say that.
Are you saying he's the youngest hipster in Brooklyn?
I'm saying he may have parents who decided to make him a hipster, and he's leaning into it. The glasses are stylized, like everything, right? He's got some stuff going on.
It is a cute photo.
This is a fantastic opportunity because I had some similar frustrations when my son was younger. And what I decided to do was to open up his own checking account and give him his own credit card and just decided to teach him the principles of money.
Oh.
As opposed to being frustrated by him spending all of mine. And he learned, you know, and he continued to purchase games for his phone, but obviously not at the same pace because he understood the principle of money.
So I say, pay for it, right?
Yeah, this is an opportunity that you can actually teach him something.
Yeah. Now, four, hard to create a credit card.
Look, man, he's wearing those little Gucci glasses and skinny jeans. He probably already got a black card.
Amex be like, Noah Bryant, of course, sir. We'll take care of you.
Yeah, you know what's so funny? It's like now my son is probably the cheapest one in the house because of that. Like
frugal.
He would stretch out a pack of ramen noodles for 3 days.
Damn.
See, same deal. 17-year-old daughter, she got the first job like of any of the other kids, even with her older brother and sister. She got a job. She works all the time. She's making bank at this pizza restaurant. And the rest of the kids all of a sudden got motivated to go, wait, she got her own money. She can do what she wants. She's got some freedom. But let me tell you something. If I ask this kid, I'm like, hey, can you go to the grocery store and just pick some things up? She's like, well, Venmo me money. I'm like, no, just lay it out. I'll pay you back. She's like, oh, no. This child will not lay out a penny for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's become that tight. Like, nope, this is my money. I'm not spending that money. You Venmo me. And it pisses me off. I'm like, come on, really? That's the way it is, LZ. I teach the responsibility.
Now, Laura had an interesting plan. Laura, what is the plan? Now, it's funny, the non-parent would have the plan here.
Maybe she can help us.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Okay, I was just wondering if this mic worked. Yeah, you put a password on things, okay? I have a goddaughter, and she has my iPad all the time. So she is not allowed to purchase any apps because I have it blocked on the iPad. So there's things you could do so your child doesn't go crazy and spend over $2,000 on popsicle sticks. It's not that hard, people. Put a password, block the app purchases, you're good.
I know. I feel dumb and lazy about the whole thing, you know? Like, I probably could have figured it out had I put the effort in, but I thought I was too busy doing something like, you know, being on Twitter or something like that. I know. I feel dumb. I know. I probably spent a lot of money on stuff that I know we never use just because they were in-app purchases that were somehow connected to my Apple ID. God, I feel dumb.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny you say that because we do have that in my house where my wife's Apple ID is on my daughter's iPad and she's six. Now, we have locked, to Laura's point, there are fail safes that we have put in place because of that, because I feel like that could end up becoming costly. So you know,
it did.
yeah, I would agree. All right, coming up next, Jeannie Buss. I forgot to get to that. Sorry. Jeannie Buss has drawn the ire of one Shaquille O'Neal in a playful way. We'll do that coming up in 3 minutes.